Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this country and over this election. Father, we understand just how close we are. And we ask you in the name of Jesus to expose every cheating scheme and stop it in its tracks. Cause people to see that this country is in trouble and that they need to turn this thing around and vote right. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I even seen one poll where in New York, a Republican is leading the governor's race. Which is even a lot of the left people are seeing this is not right. You know, they're seeing what's going on and they don't want no part of it. But we still got some. All right, open up your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. You know, Moses took the children of Israel all the way through, got them over to where they needed to be, going to the promised land. And he was going to send these spies in. Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. As Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Go down to verse 25. It says, they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Those are giants. Skip down to verse 30. Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And here's the thing. The Bible clearly tells us. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. The Bible clearly tells us that you can have what you say. This is why it's absolutely so very important for you to guard your mouth. You have to guard your mouth. You're going to say something. You just will say something that's right. I want you to know that it was not the giants in the land of Canaan that kept the children out. It was the giants of fear in their hearts. Our text for this lesson, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, which is quoted below, is one that we have used many times in our series of studies of faith. We've talked about Mark chapter 11, verse 23 a lot. In it we see the faith formula for moving whatever mountains may be present in our lives. Whether your particular mountain may be sickness, unsaved loved ones, financial difficulties, or family problems, you can find the solution in that verse of Scripture. The particular verse is especially meaningful to us as its truth shed abroad in our hearts how to operate in faith. We can have what we say. And unfortunately, too many people are running around saying what they have. Jesus said you can have what you say. But too many times people get caught saying what they have. Somebody will get attacked with a sickness. That may be a natural fact. It's true, people get attacked with sicknesses and diseases. The problem lies in what they say with their mouth. It's bad that they get attacked. But that's from the devil. It's not from God. But what you say next with your mouth is very critical. What will happen is something will happen and somebody will go to the doctor and the doctor will say, okay, you have this. Don't receive it. So how do you receive it? Well, the doctor says, okay, you've got cancer. This is a crossroads. Too many people run home and they say, I've got cancer. They've just received it. They've accepted it. They've owned it. They've taken it as theirs. You got to remember, you can have what you say. So the doctor says something about you. You say, no, I'm not having that. I'm not going to have that. I go home, take communion, read your Bible, find out what the Bible says, and say, no, I'm having healing and long life in my body. Your mind may be racing 500 miles an hour, but you have to operate in faith, not by feeling. You have to set forth your faith and believe that the Word of God is true and that it's yours. And say what it is that you want. Not say what you have, say what it is that you want. I want you to know of the 12 spies who went into Canaan to search out the land, only two, Caleb and Joshua. They were men of faith and vision who said, let's go up at once and possess it. We are able to overcome it. The other 10 came back with a negative, fearful report of giants in the land. The Bible called their report an evil report. Why? It was a report of doubt and fear. What then is a good report? A good report is a report of faith. You know something? Those spies were in there spying on this land, checking it out, seeing everything that was in there, and they said that they seen themselves as grasshoppers in the giant's eyes. It didn't say that the giants seen them as grasshoppers. It said that they seen themselves as grasshoppers. So 10 of those spies looked at themselves as if they didn't even have a covenant with God. Two of them looked at those giants knowing that they had a covenant with God and that they could do what God said they could do. See, they seen themselves differently. They seen God with them. Joseph, he got kidnapped. His brothers, they sold him into slavery. And he ended up naked and broke in a foreign land in jail. That's a pretty bad place to be. Didn't know the language, I don't suppose. Didn't have any money, didn't have any contacts, didn't have any friends, didn't have any possibilities. But the Bible says that he considered himself to be a successful man. How? You're naked, you're broken, you're in jail in a foreign land. You can't contact your folks. They can't come bail you out. And you're a successful man. He said he considered himself to be a successful man because God was with him. See, sometimes we can go through some real challenges. And some people will look at you like God is not with you. But you can go through some real challenges, and it's because God is with you that you survive those challenges and you come through the other side. People look at a successful relationship with God as one with no challenges, with no downturns. That is just not true. That is so far from the truth that you couldn't be any wronger. Jesus said, in this world there will be tribulation. You're not going to get through this life without being attacked. It's not going to happen. I don't care how stellar of a Christian life you live, you're not going to get through without being attacked. But it's because God is with you and in you that you win. Amen. Now here's the thing. The devil, he wants to attack you. He wants to cause all kinds of confusion. He wants to cause all kinds of catastrophe in and around you. He wants to do everything he can do to get you discouraged and not serve God. Then he's completed his task. But don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. In fact, when he attacks, that's when you need to turn up the heat. So the 10 spies, they were actually operating faith in reverse. After all, even when you doubt, you are believing something. You're believing in defeat. You're believing in wrong thing. You always get in your life what you believe for and what you say. If you don't believe what you're saying, then you shouldn't say it. But if you keep saying something long enough, those words will eventually register on your spirit. And once they are registered upon your spirit, they will control your life. I've witnessed this so many times. I've seen people. I had friends that I still got them, some of them, by the grace of God. When we were kids, I heard them say stuff like, my grandpa, he died when he was 50, of a heart attack. My dad died when he was 50, of a heart attack. I'm going to die when I'm 50, when I have a heart attack. Oh, wow. I've seen people talk themselves into baldness. I've seen people talk themselves into sickness. People will receive what they believe. When I first started getting in contact with the Word of Faith and learning something about this, I was still pretty devious. But one time I come into the... It was when the West Nile was... That was the hot new disease. That was fresh off the press. And everybody was tore up over West Nile. And I come in the front door, and the lady that worked at the cash register, she was standing there, and I come in there, and she was bending her arm. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, my elbow is stiff. And I said, "Oh my, I hope it's not West Nile." My boss, the next day she was in the doctor's office. My boss had me in the office, and he said, "Will you knock that off? Every time you say something like that, she runs to the doctor." But instead of believing that God is on top of it, God is taking care of it, God's going to watch out for you, he's going to take care of the deal, she was believing that the worst was going to happen to her. You know, that was a hard thing for me to get broke. Every fall, without fail, I'd get a cold and I'd cough for half the winter. And it didn't matter. It'd sneeze and I'd say, "Oh man, I'm catching a cold." And then I'd have that cough for 2 or 3 months. And I finally got over that. I finally said, "No, I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to have this." And it's been a lot better. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. It says, "Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us.'" See that? They understood that the Lord was with them, said, "Fear them not." They put their trust in the Lord, and their hearts were filled with faith that God was able to bring them into the land that he had promised to their forefathers. Twice in that verse number 9, they admonished the people not to fear. And what was the result of their report of faith? They were the only two men of their generation to enter the promised land. You can have what you say. I love the story of David and Goliath. I love the story of David and Goliath, where David went down there and he said, "Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, that you should defy the armies of God?" He picked up 5 stones and he went down there to face that giant. He only needed 1 stone to kill that giant. But that giant had 4 brothers. He got caught up in the celebration, but he intended to go take care of all of the giants. We always talk about David and the giant. But how many times do we talk about Caleb, an 80-year-old man, when he finally got to the promised land? He had been promised a mountain, and this mountain was loaded with giants. And he said, "I'm ready to roll." He understood that God was with him. He couldn't lose. He understood who was with him. He was fearless because he knew God was with him. Joshua, he got to go into the promised land. He had a good report when he returned from spying out the land. Joseph considered himself a successful man because God was with him. And then he ended up being second in command only to Pharaoh. The only person in all the land of Egypt who had more authority than Joseph was Pharaoh. And because of that relationship in the land of Goshen, where the Jews lived, they all multiplied exceedingly. Their families just exploded. They lived good until a new Pharaoh got in control and didn't understand the relationship that they had with Joseph. Well, the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. When you get born again, it's a supernatural thing that happens to you. You got somebody very special moved inside your heart. And he's bigger than anything that you'll ever face. When we get faced with challenges, are we going to say, oh my, what am I going to do? Or are we going to say, oh Lord God, what are you going to do? You're not being arrogant. You're putting your trust in God. Say, God, what are you going to do? And what do you want me to do? That's not being arrogant at all. That's being humble. You're calling on God. That's the only, it's really the only acceptable answer that you could have. That's the only sane thing you could do, is to call on God. One of the things I've learned in ministry and going through different prayer lines and stuff and dealing with different people, you know, a lot of people ask you to pray for them. And I talk to them. I don't just go pray for people. Just, you know, somebody will say they need prayer. And, you know, a lot of times you're just expected to just reach out your hand and just start praying. And what I like to do is try to figure out where they're at. Try to locate them. You know, God, he located Adam in the garden. You know, he's walking through the garden and he said, Adam, where are you? As if God didn't know where his creation was. God knew exactly where he was physically, but he wanted Adam to locate himself. We need to do that with ourselves and then other people too. Find out, you know, okay, you want me to pray for you. I want to find out where you're at in your faith. You know, sometimes people are at a level of faith where they need to go to the doctor, but the doctor is going to help them get better. It happens. I had one lady walk up to me one time, and she come up to me. She had been in our Bible study, and she come walking up to me, and she said, I've had it. She started telling me, she had been on dialysis, kidney dialysis, for a long time. She started telling me what she was believing, and she didn't ask me to pray for her. She just asked me to agree with her that she was healed. She never went back to that dialysis machine again. That was a whole nother level of faith. But here's the thing. Too many people will hear a sermon on faith and say, okay, I'm going to do that. And they'll throw their blood pressure medicine away. And then 3 or 4 days later, their head's pounding and they're going to the doctor. And they come and say, I don't know what happened. I said, why did you throw your medicine away? They said, well, you were talking about faith and not living on that stuff. And I said, you didn't understand what I said. We meditate on that word until we get it solidified in our heart. And then when you are ready, the Holy Spirit will let you know when it's time to cut back or when it's time to cut it off. And sometimes people go cold turkey on stuff and they survive it. Sometimes people have to take it a little bit at a time. Did you know both are okay? It's okay what level of faith you're at. Jesus will meet you there. That's the cool thing about Jesus. He'll meet you where you're at. Jesus was walking down the street, and the ruler of the synagogue came up to him and said, come to my house and lay hands on my daughter and pray for her. So he said, okay. That was okay. He said, I can do that. And then a centurion came up to him and said, all you got to do is just say a word, my servant will be healed. And he said, okay. You know, both were healed. Both of them were healed. One of them had absolute faith in a word. One of them had absolute faith in him showing up and laying hands on him. Did you know Jesus was okay with both of them? Sometimes people get frustrated because, you know, they get attacked and then, you know, maybe we'll pray for them and then they get better, get a little bit better. And then they get frustrated because they haven't got all the way better. You know, the Bible says that you'll receive some 100-fold return, some 60-fold return, some 30-fold return on His Word. It's His Word. So, say you got a 30-fold return on that Word. You got some healing in your body. Things are better. You're not quite where you think you need to be. Don't get mad. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated with God. Don't get frustrated with yourself. Praise God for the 30% that you got. And then keep going for that other 70%. And it'll come. You'll get there. But you're going to have to keep paying attention to the words of your mouth. You have to say what the Bible says about you. I remember two friends of mine were having problems with IRS and they needed $10,000. So they decided, he said, I know God, He can meet this. He can do this all the way. And his wife said, she couldn't get it. She couldn't get it in her head and couldn't get it in her heart. And so they prayed. They got $5,000. So yeah, I got my half anyway. But look, is God with you or not? He said He would never ever leave you nor forsake you. There's so much confusion about this. I remember eating one time. I was eating with three pastors, and one of them was the hottest pastor on the block at that time. I mean, he was just going great guns. And one of them asked him something about sin, and then he said, "You know something? When you sin, the Holy Spirit, He just steps over here and he lets you do your thing, and he just stays over here. When you repent and get better, then he comes back. And I was sitting there thinking, are you nuts? You didn't get that in the Bible. You did not read that in the Bible. I said, I just thought, man, everybody loved this guy. So the next time I seen him, I was doing jail ministry, and I come walking into the jail, and he's sitting in jail. Yeah, serious. He's sitting in jail. I didn't even recognize him. His medication that he was on got all messed up, and he gained a bunch of weight, and he looked like a puffed up toad. He wasn't the same person. But that's from having that schizophrenic thought belief, you know, where if you make a mistake, God leaves you. You got to understand that when you get born again, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You make a mistake, guess what? You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You make a mistake, guess what? Holy Spirit didn't leave you. He's still there. The Bible says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That means ever, never. I don't care how bad you blow it. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. The only way that happens, and there have been some people go down this path, but the only way that happens is when somebody will sit there where everybody can hear them and say, I deny the blood of Jesus for my salvation. It's over then. It's done. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. There's nothing God can do for it. That's happened on national television. But that's just not something that people are willing to say, for the most part. Here's the thing. The same way you got born again, you believed something in your heart, and then you confessed with your mouth what you believed in your heart. Absolutely everything else that you get from heaven is going to come the same way. You're going to have to believe it in your heart first. The only way that's going to happen is if you hear it. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you hear it, and then you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it. You listen to it over and over. You listen to yourself say it over and over and over and over and over again. What if it takes 2 or 3 months? What if it takes 2 or 3 years? I got news for you. The devil, he's not going to go away unless you make him go away. But if you curl up and play possum, he's just going to stay there and pick on you for the rest of your life. You got to get some fight. You got everything in you to beat the devil off. You got to say something with your mouth. The Bible says that these angels have been sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. The Bible also tells us that the angels hearkened unto the voice of God's word. So all these angels are out here around us. You know, we can't see them all the time. Sometimes people see them. They're here. And they're waiting for you to say something out of your mouth so that they have a job to do. Unfortunately, they're sitting there waiting because people don't want to say something. You could have literally thousands of angels out there working for you day and night if you'll just engage your mouth with the Word of God and get it out there in the atmosphere. Give them something to do. Thank you, Father, for your words. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for sending your holy angels here to protect us and even send messages to us. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus and the word of God, that every time we speak forth your word in faith, it causes things to change for us. It causes us to be in victory. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.